Today's shiur is Masech Tamid Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, the new parak. So our Mishnah continues discussing the carbon tamid and how actually it was offered. It says the Mishnah, they didn't tie the animal. Usually in those days when they shecht an animal, they would tie together all four of its legs to immobilize it. As we'll learn in the Gemara today, there was a specific reasons not to do so with a carbon tamid. El makidin isai. And machlokes rishonim what makidin isai here means. Most rishonim learn that they tie the front leg and the back leg on the right side and on the left side, one to the other. The Ravid learns that makidin means that they tie the front right leg and the hind right leg and the hind right leg together, and the left side was left completely untied. The Rambam learns that there was no tying at all. Rather, he says they just held it together with their hands. Mi shazocha be'evri, and the people who had the schus, who won the privilege that we discussed and will still discuss extensively in today's Shir Beis Hashem, of carrying up the Avram to the Mizbeach, were the ones that Eichsim bought. Again, according to the opinion of the Rambam and the Ravid, this statement of Eichsim bought is very understandable, because since the animal really wasn't tied, or was minimally tied, so you needed to hold it down. But even according to the other Rishonim, the Mefarshim explained, as we're just about to learn, it had to be in a very specific direction. To make sure that it was laying in that specific direction, they needed people to hold it. And this was the direction it laid. Rosh l'dorim, its head was facing the dorim. Ufon of l'mariv, but its head was towards the dorim, but they turned the head towards west. Why didn't they just put the animal towards the west? Because that would put the back of the animal to the mizrach. And they didn't want to have the back of the animal to the mizrach. So that's why they wanted to have its face facing Marav, which is the direction of the base of Migdash, but not have its back facing mizrach. For Shochet, the person who shechted the animal, Aymed b'mizrach, upon of l'marav. In the base of Migdash, in the Azara, there were a series of rings, tabos. There were actually 24. There's a debate in Masechta Yuma if there were four rows of six or six rows of four. The purpose of those tabos were to put the animal by them when the animal was slaughtered. There's actually machlokes for showing him exactly how it was done. Some learned that the tabos was attached to the ground and you could pick it up and then put the animal's head into the tabos to keep the animal stationary during the shechita. Others say that the tabos, they tied a rope from the leg of the animal to the ring, and that's how they kept the animal in place. There were 24 tabos corresponding to the 24 mishmeres that we know were in the base of Migdash. Every mishmer had its own ring. But although every week there was a different mishmer doing the Avoida, as we're about to learn, the ring in which the carbon tamid was slaughtered was always the same ring, even though it belonged to one of the mishmeres. So says the Mishnah, Shal Shachar, the carbon tamid Shal Shachar, Hayanishchet al Keren Tzvoinis Marovis al Tabar Shnia. The carbon tamid Shal Shachar was slaughtered on the northwest side at the second ring. And Shaben Abayim, the one that was brought in the evening, Hayanishchal Kerem Mizrachot Tzvoinis, was on the northeast side at the Bashnia. So why it had to be on the north? We know, because the Torah says that the carbon oil, the oil's tamid, is kachikachim. We've learned many times together, shchitosim v'tzofen. Which was the second ring? So there's Machloikus, Rashi, and Rambam. Rashi learns it's the second ring after the Mizbeach. I mean, there's a ring, and then the Mizbeach. There's Mizbeach, an empty ring, and then the second ring in the evening on the west side, in the morning on the west side, and the evening on the east side. That's where it was slaughtered. The Rambam has just the opposite. He says there's the wall, and you have the first ring next to the wall in the morning on the east side, on the west side, in the evening on the east side, not used, and the second ring was where it was slaughtered. The pshat, why in the morning on the west side and in the evening on the east side? So as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, the Torah, when it describes the shechit of the Korban Tumah, it says keneged hayom, it has to be facing the sun. So in the morning when the sun is coming up from the east, the west is where you're going to get the best illumination, and vice versa in the evening. Rashi, who says it was closest to the Mizbeach, because he wants it as close as possible to the Mizbeach. Rambam, who has it so far away from the Mizbeach, wants it where you get all the sunlight of the Azara on the animal. Why on the second ring, not on the first ring? So according to the Rambam, we were slaughtered right next to the wall. So the wall is making a shade on the first ring. And as we just said, you want to get as much light as possible. So you go to the second ring. According to Rashi, so one shot that the Mefarshim say, it's the same. Because you want to get as much illumination, and you don't want the shade of the Mizbeach. Others say, by not having it slaughtered right next to the Mizbeach, you have more space to work. And even if necessary, some of us would say, you could hold on to that extra ring that's available on the other side of where you're shechting to hold that ring for support if you need that support as you do the shechita. Says the Mishnah further, Shachar HaShoychet, the Shoychet shechs the carbon, the kibbal HaMekabel, and the Mekabel is Mekabel Adam. Balala Karen Mizrachat Tzfainas, V'noisin Mizrachat Tzfainas. He does Rikas Dam on the northeast corner. Then he gets to the Maravis Doraimus. He goes to the southwest corner, V'noisin Maravis Doraimus. So there are many halachas that come together to understand this halacha. The halacha we know, we had it many times, is that the blood of the Korban Oyla is sprinkled Shtayim Shein Arba. So you have to do it in two corners that are diagonal from each other. That's one rule. Another rule is that you have to do it only on top of a corner that has a Yesoid. We know that there was a foundation around the Mizbeach, but it didn't encircle the entire Mizbeach. And then there's a third rule, which we'll discuss a number of times still, in Masechta Tamid, in Masechta Midas, in Mitzvah Shem, that all turns that were done on the Mizbeach should be done on the right side. So when you take all of these rules together, the way it will be done is that you'll have first on the northeast corner, and then on the northwest, and then on the southwest corner, because the Yisoid is around these corners. Actually, the Mefarshim point out that there's really no reason to do this by a Korban Oyla. Because if we remember the first Mishnah Masechta Kinim, the Mishnah Masechta Kinim, and Halacha, we learned other places as well, says that there's a difference. The Korban Oyla was brought on the lower half in the Mizbeach. The Korban Chatas was brought on the upper half. So by the Korban Oyla, you didn't really have to go on top of the Mizbeach at all. You could have stood on the Azara floor and done it. But since by the Korban Chatas, which must be brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach, you had to go up and tap. And these are the corners that make most sense. Therefore, it was done by the Korban Oyla as well. Next, says the Mishnah, Shiari Hadam, if there was leftover blood, or Yishayfech Yisai Dreimus. So here too, the Rishonim make an observation. The Torah uses different wording when it speaks about putting the blood of the Korban Chatas versus the blood of a Korban Oyla. But a Korban Chatas, the Torah says the word v'nosan. By the Korban Oyla, the Torah says the word v'zorak. So v'nosan means just a place. You're always going to have leftover blood. By Korban Oyla, you could sprinkle. So you could just throw all the blood and have nothing left over. So the Ravid says that indeed, it's very possible to bring a Korban Oyla with no leftover blood. The Korban Oyla's Talmud, the Torah specifically says that the leftover blood should be put on the Yesoid. And we learned the halacha, there's a question, should you try to have leftover blood? And then the Rav goes on to discuss, if the halacha is that by the Korban Tumah there is a rule, you should try to have a leftover blood, is that by all Korban Oylas, or only by the Korban Tumah? Now what they're up to, is that they've slaughtered the animal, they've done Zrikas Adam, and we need to, the next step, as the Torah tells us in procedure of the Karban Oila, Stamid, is the Hefshet v'nituach. Hefshet means to strip the animal of its skin, and Nituach means to cut it into certain pieces. The halach is that Hefshet v'nituach doesn't necessarily have to be done by a Kohen. Hefshet v'nituach may be done by Yisrael. So says the Mishnah. Normally, when they skin the animal, what they used to do was make a hole in the legs of the animal, and then, so to speak, intertwine them one with the other, and that's how they hung up the animal with those two legs intertwined on a hook. But obviously, they would try to avoid breaking legs of an animal, of a kachim animal, even though it's dead. So says the Mishnah, lo yahayu shoyva b'yisaregel, they didn't break the leg of the carbon tamid, ela noikvay metoich arkuvay, they made a hole, they hooked it up by its knee. Most Rishonim say Akuvahim means knee. There are Rishonim that say Akuvahim means the ankle. The Toilabai, and that's how they hung it up, head down. Hayamafshit for Yairid, and now they began stripping the animal. Ach Megiel Lechaza, until they got to the breast. Hegiel Lechaza, once they got to the breast, Chotachas Arosh, they cut off the head, and they gave it to whoever won the privilege that we'll discuss about soon, carrying it up. Why did they not finish skinning the animal before they just got to the chaza and then cut off the head? So I saw two pshat. One pshat is that if they're going to cut off the animal, skin the animal, they're going to have the heart exposed. And if the heart is exposed, it's going to get cold. And we're going to learn in a few minutes that they tried to drain out all of the blood that was in the heart. So since they tried to drain out all the blood that's in the heart, they didn't want to leave it exposed for any period of time that should make it difficult to do. Another pshat is that the roish is different than the rest of the animal. The best raya that the roish is different than the rest of the animal is I just said that they had to do hefshet, but there was no hefshet done on the roish. So to show that the roish is different than the rest of the body of the animal, they cut it off even before they finished the hefshet. Chotachas haroish, they cut off the head. V'nosno l'misha zachabai, they gave it to the person who's going to carry it to hold. Chotachas krayim, then they cut off from below the knees. V'nosno l'misha zachaban, and they gave it to the individuals who will be holding that. Marek as a hefshet, and then they completed doing the skinning of the animal. Koras alev, and they cut open the heart for hoitzi estomai, to take out the blood. Why did they drain the blood of the heart? So I saw two pshatim in that as well. One is that there are two separate halachas. There's one halacha of zrikas adam, and there's one halacha of putting the parts of the carbon on the mizbeach that must be put there. Those two avoiders cannot get confused. So if you're going to keep the heart with blood and put that with the blood that's in the heart on the mizbeach, you've mixed together two distinct avoiders. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the animal, as it's killed and it's expiring, it's gasping for air and it sucks into the heart blood from the rest of the body. That blood doesn't even belong in the heart. So you don't want to have extraneous blood in the heart that you're going to put the heart on the mizbeach. So they drain the heart. Chotachas yadayim, they cut off the forelegs, v'nos l'misha zachabon, and they gave it to whoever's going to carry them. Ola l'regel hayaminis, they get to the hind right leg. Chotcha, v'nos l'misha zachabon, whoever got the schus of carrying it was given it. And whoever carries that also will carry Beis Beim Ima, the two testicles with it. Kara, v'nimtza kule goli lefonav. Now the animal's completely exposed. Notless a peder, he takes the fat. The peder is a layer of fat that is between the large intestine and the small intestine. V'nosna besa shchita haroish mamala. And it was put, we'll discuss this in a moment more, it was put on the exposed place where the head was cut off from the rest of the animal. Notel es kabayim, they took the intestines. V'nosnan l'misha zochabehen, they gave it to whoever's ultimately going to carry it up to the mizbeach, l'hadichon. There was a special beis hamidbechayim where the intestines were washed, because obviously they're dirty, so they want to get them washed in that area. The halacha is that only water may be used for hadocha. You can't use other liquids. Vakeres, and similarly the stomach, madichan oisav beis hamadichan, was also washed in the place where they used to wash all the parts of the animal. When we speak about the keres, they kept on washing it until it got clean. The minimal amount of washing is three times. And actually, the Pesach can say from this we learn halach lemaisa, that whenever you're supposed to wash, the minimal amount of time to washing is three times. And that's why the minig is that by negel vaser, we wash our hands, each hand, three times. And similarly, the halach, the minig is that after we salt meat, we wash the meat three times because of this. The halacha also is that even though I said a moment ago that only water may be used to wash the kibayim, say the mefarshim, that's only the first three times. But let's say you washed it three times and you still need to continue washing it, then you could use other liquids as well. Al shulchanos shalshai shebein amudim. In our previous show, we spoke about marble tables that were between the pillars. They put them on those. They purposely put them on marble tables, not on tables made out of silver or gold, because they are going more likely to conduct heat and cause the animal to spoil. Not less a sakin. And here the Mefarsh explains, that to pull out the fats, you didn't really need a knife. You just could pull it out with your hands. But now they're going to start cutting, so they have to get a knife. V'hifrish es ha-reyim min ha-kovid. They have to be very careful, because the reya, the lungs, is a soft, spongy organ. So you have to be very careful to cut it at the right spot. So you take a knife and cut it properly. V'etzba ha-kovid min ha-kovid. There's a little piece of meat called the etzba ha-kovid, which extends from the kovid. V'lo yemeziza mekoyim, but you kept it in the spot. Noikev es ha-chaza. Then you make a hole in the chaza, the nasal misha zaychaba, and you give it to whoever's going to carry it up. All of the doifin hayaminis. Then you get to the right flank. Hayachaitich v'shoirit ad ha-shedra. And you cut the entire right flank, all the meat, on the right side of the animal, up to the spine. V'lo yinigeya v'shedra ad sheb magil abein beit slos dakas. You're careful at the top of the spine, near the neck, the two ribs that are on top are soft ribs. Those were left. Chotcha, so that entire big piece of meat was cut out. V'nesna l'misha zachaba. It was given to whoever is going to carry it. V'kovet t'luyaba. And the liver is still attached to that right flank, so it was given to that individual as well. Bala l'geira. When you come to the neck, that's why an animal that chews its cud is called malageiro, because it chews its cud. Now, you cut up to the two soft ribs on the top of the animal and up to two soft ribs on the bottom of the animal. And it was cut out and given to whoever's going to carry it. Hakana valev, the kana is the trachea, the heart, vareya, are all connected. Balal day for the smallest. Now they did the left flank. Hinich b'shtei tzlas dakos mamala. Again, you leave two soft ribs on top. B'shtei tzlas dakos mamatan, two soft ribs on bottom. V'kach hayimnich b'chaverta. The same way that you left two soft ribs on the top and on the bottom on the left side, so too did you do on the right side. Nimtzot, so that turns out. Menich shtayim. Milmalam, shtaim, shtaim, milmatam, two soft ribs on the top, towards the top of the animal, towards the neck, and two soft ribs toward the bottom. Chotch v'naslam yishazachaba. Now you completely cut off the left flank and give it to whoever's going to carry it. V'shedra ima, and that person also carried the spine. V'tchol toliba, and the spleen was also connected. V'haisa g'dayla. So actually, if you look at the size of what was carried, so the person who was carrying the left flank was carrying a bigger piece. But, says the Mishnah, El Shalyamin, the right flank is Kali G'dayla, Shekavet Luyaba. So Rebbe Mefarshim explains like this. The left flank was a bigger piece of meat. The right flank was a heavier piece of meat. Because the lever has a lot of density. It's full of blood. So that's why the person carrying the right flank, because the liver was attached to the right flank, it's considered he's carrying something heavier. But he comes to the tail of the animal, or the end of the spine. Chatcha, was cut off. Ha'alya, so to the tail. Vet, covered that piece of meat connected to the liver. Uba, base clears ima, and the two kidneys as well. Notl as a regular smallest. Now they cut off the left back leg. So now we have all of these individuals. They were all enumerated in the previous parak as well. Lined up. Nimsa kulam aymdim bishura. They're all lined up in a row. Vayvarim biyadam, and holding the various avarim that they're going to put on the mizbeach. So there's actually in Masechta Yuma a machlokes tanoim. Exactly how are these kohanim that are carrying the very different pieces of the avarim lined up? One man dharma says it goes according to the animal, from the head to the back. That's how they're lined up. Another man dharma says it goes from the back to the front. There's another mandaba that says it goes according to the way it was heshit, the way the animal was dismembered. There's another mandaba that says it goes according to the chshivas, the more significant aver first. Our Mishnah doesn't follow any of those opinions. Our Mishnah follows it goes according to the weight. The heavier pieces go first. Haver, harishon, so the first kayin in the line, was Beroish or Beregel. Was the person that was going to carry the head of the animal and the foreleg of the animal. Haroish b'yaminoi, he carries in his right hand the head, the chaitmai, and the nose of the animal, which is obviously not that nice, and it could be dripping liquid. He didn't carry exposed that everybody could see. He carried it facing himself. Klapei Zroya, facing himself, so that if there's, it shouldn't look unappealing. Karna ben etzbaisav, he carried the horns of the animal between his fingers. But first, explain, there's something that's commemorated here. The karnav are what we make a shayfa from. So you want to be masker, we want to remind ourselves of the schus of the shayfa. And the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that the size of a shayfa is a size that fits between your hand. So that's why they carry the karnayim in your hand to remember the mitzvah of tekiyah shayfa. Beis shchitas mamalim. So where the animal was cut from, where the head of the animal was cut from its body, it's obviously bloody. So if you're going to be carrying it with that part exposed, it's not nice, all that blood. So what they did was, as we spoke about an Amud Aleph, v'ped nosonales. So they put that fat, that layer of fat, on top of it to cover it. And as we'll see, when they carry the neck, they carry the neck with the bloody spot facing the kayin. So since they carry that with the part facing the kayin, then they didn't have to cover it with the pedder because it wasn't visible. Haregel shalimin, the right foreleg, was besmoilai, or base aron l'chutz, with, again, it shouldn't be exposed, the cut, where it's cut from the body. But Farshim say, the why was this kayin given to carry both a leg and the head? What's the connection between the leg and the head? So it's a very cute shot. The head has a lot of bone, but not a lot of meat. The leg has a lot of meat, but not a lot of bone. So to complement each other, they were put together. Hasheni, the next kayin, carried shteyadayim, the two forelegs of the animal. Shalimin, the right foreleg, was carried by Yemino in his right hand. Vishalsmoil, the left foreleg, was carried by Smoiloi. And again, based on Aron Lechutz, it was carried in a way that you shouldn't see the cut, it shouldn't be visible. Hashlishi, the third kayin, carried the ukitz, the back of the animal, uberegel, haukitz biminoi, the ukitz was in his right hand, ha'ayim adals ben etzbayasov, the tail was between his fingers, v'etzba covered, v'shtei klois imoi, ha'regel shall smile, the left regel was in his left hand, besaron l'chutz. Ha'ravi, the fourth kayin, carried the chaz and the geira, the chaz of the breast was b'yamino in his right hand, ha'geiroi, the neck, was b'smolo on his left hand, the slice of ben shnayosov, and the ribs were between his fingers. Ha'chamishi, the fifth kayin, b'shtei defanis, carried the two flanks, shalimin b'yamino v'shalsmol b'smolo, and again, b'saron l'chutz, where it was cut, was kept unexposed. The sixth kayin carried b'kabayim, hanatunim b'bozach, they put the kabayim in a pan, he didn't hold them in his hands, v'kabayim al-gabayim, and they put the bottom part of the leg, below the knee, on top of them, to cover up the kabayim, which obviously were not that appealing. Hazayin, the seventh kayin, was carrying the soilus. With the carbon tamid, they brought a carbon mincha, so the flower of that carbon mincha was carried by the seventh kayin. The soilus was taken directly up to the mizbeach. It wasn't put halfway up. Hashmini, the eighth kayin, carried the chavitim. We scoped back many times. Sachta menachas. The kayin gadol had to bring every day a minchas chavitim, which was made out of flour, which was first boiled and then baked. 12 loaves. Machtzisa b'boiker, machtzisa ben abayim. Half in the morning, half in the evening. So the six of the morning were carried by this eighth kayin. Hachi b'yayin. And the ninth kayin carried the wine of the Nesachim up to the Mizbeach. Hochu, the parts of the animal were put for Nos Mechatzim Kevus Lamata, were put at the half point of the Mizbeach, B'Marovai, on the west side of the ramp. So, there's a number of points to be made here. First of all, why did they just not carry it up to the top? Why did they put it down in the middle? So there's a number of explanations. One is because they were concerned that if they're going to be carried all the way to the top of the Mizbeach, they may come to ready burn it on the Mizbeach. But the time, as we're going to learn in the coming Mishnayos, the time for burning the carbon has not yet come. So they put it only halfway up to make sure that it doesn't get burnt too early. Another pshat is that, as we're about to learn, they needed to salt it, so they needed to give it some time to sit in the salt. And another pshat, a fairly simple pshat, is that the more time it takes, you carry it, you stop, you carry it again, as we'll learn tomorrow in the Mishnah, shows that this is a big deal, and the Karmat Talmud is a big deal. So the Mishnah says it was put on the west side of the ramp. Why was it put on the west side of the ramp? Two reasons. One is because the west side is closer to the base of Mikdash. The other reason is when Kohanim had to walk up the ramp, they walked up on the east side. So the east side they needed to keep open for the Kohanim walking up. So that's why they put it on the west side. However, on Shabbos, they had, by the Talmud Shaben Abayim, also the carbon musaf that they had to put on the ramp. So on Shabbos, they did put the parts of the carbon tamid on the east side, because the west side was already occupied with the carbon musaf. Umolchim. And now they salted it. Why? Because the halach is a pasuk in the Torah. Akol kabon chotakrev melech. But there's a very fundamental question. When the Torah HaKadosh says, Al-Kol Karban Chotakrev Melech, what does the Torah mean? Does the Torah mean, we know that the way blood is taken out of an animal, out of a behemoth, is a melicha. So here too, the carbon had to have melicha in order that they should get the salt, to get the blood out. That's one pshat. Or, it has nothing to do with getting the blood out. Part of the avoida that the Torah says that you have to do of the carbon is put salt on it. That's part of the procedure. What's the nafkamina? So one nafkamina is may a zor put on the salt. if the entire purpose of putting on the salt is just to extract the blood, so it could be done by a zar. If it's a part of the avoid of the carbon, it has to be done by a kohen. There's also a very interesting question. I emphasize that this is lahaloch of loy lemaisa, that what would be the halach if salt isn't available? Can you use sugar? Which is, in general, a question. If it's to show a chshivas, so maybe if you can't find salt, you can use sugar. If the point is to extract the blood, salt, sugar doesn't accomplish that. And now says the Mishnah, Bala l'lishkos agazis, likros shema. And now they came to the lishkos agazis to daven, which we'll discuss in tomorrow's shir. Farshim asked, why did they go to the lishkos agazis? Why couldn't they just daven in the Azara? So one pshat is, because there were a lot of people in the Azara, it's hard to daven with proper kavana, with proper concentration in the Azara. They went into the lishkos agazis. Another pshat is, as we're also going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, after they're about to do another pious, they're about to do another geirel, and that geirel, as we're about to learn, had to be done in the lishkos agazis. We learned in yesterday's shir. So they're going to have to end up in the lishkos agazis anyway, and since they're going to end up in the lishkos agazis, they might as well daven in the lishkos agazis. But then there's a third pshat. As we discussed in our previous shir, the lishkos agazis is where the Sanhedrin sat. Sanhedrin represents Torah. They specifically appoint to daven in a place where Torah is learnt. So since the davening now, they entered the lishkos agazis where Torah was learnt by the Sanhedrin. Up to the point that the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that even though normally the halach is b'roiv am hadras melech, and it's appropriate to daven in a place where there's a larger crowd. So now if you have a choice, where do you daven? Do you daven in the Beis HaMedrash where Torah is learnt, or you daven where there's a bigger crowd? He says it's better to daven in a place where Torah is learnt. Continues the Mishnah. Tana, the Gemara. Tana, we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, Yad V'Regel, the Yad V'Regel were tied together, Kakedus Yitzchak ben Avram. Again, to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Akedah. We learned in the Mishnah, Lo'ihay Kaifsin Satleh, the animal was not tied in the normal fashion that animals are tied. My Tama, Rav Huna Rav Chizda, Charam Mishum B'Zayin Kachim, it's a design that we should tie this animal the way all animals are typically tied. That's the way the Akum would tie their animal, so we don't want to emulate them. There's a machlaikis in the Pesach. What does it mean that's the way they tie their animal? Doesn't mean that when they brought a carbon to their Avodah Zarah, that's the way they tie their animal, so we don't want to emulate them. Or as a chukas Akum, whenever they do it, even that is part of Avodah Zarah. This is a very fundamental question, because there's a pasuk in the Torah that we're not allowed to go by Chukas Amim. The question is, what is included in Chukas Amim? Is Chukas Amim limited to what they do for Avodah Zarah? Or Chukas Amim, even actions that they do not for Avodah Zarah? Ask the Gemara, my benayu between these two pshatim. Answer the Gemara, ik benayu the kafsa b'shroi. If the animal was tied together with silk, Inami behutzudava with gold thread. So if the concern is bezayin kachim, this is the way most mafarshim explain. If the concern is bezayin kachim, there's no bezayin kachim. You're using gold, you're using silk. If the concern, however, is chukas amim, so then it doesn't make a difference what material you use. The mafarshim that say just the opposite. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, Shloish Esri Shulchanes Hai B'Migdash, there were 13 tables in the base of Migdash. Shmaina Shoshayas, 8 were made out of marble. The base, Hamad B'chaim, they were in the place where the animals were slaughtered. Shaleya Madich Meskabayim, we spoke in the Mishnah that they washed the intestines. They were done on marble. Beis B'marova Shalkevis, there were 2 to the west side of the ramp. Echad Shoshayas, 1 was made out of marble. Vechad Shalkevis, 1 was made out of silver. Says the Gemara, Al Shoshayish, nice and safe, Val Shalkes, because we don't want them to get spoiled, Val Shalkes of Klisharos, the Klisharos were put on the silver table. Uba Ulam, Shnaim Bifnim. There were 2 tables, Echad Shalkesif, Vechad Shalzov. One was made out of silver, one was made out of gold. Al Shalkesif, On the silver table, they would put the lechem upon him before it was put on the shulchan. But when they removed the lechem upon him, and they put it down in the ulam, before they distributed it to the kohanim, they put it on a gold table. Since this lechem was ready on the shulchan, and the shulchan is made out of gold, it's inappropriate that we should take lechem upon him that was already on a shulchan shazav, and not put it on a lower type of shulchan, on a shulchan shel kesef. This is the concept of malam b'kodesh v'lam meridim. Interesting tshuva from the Michas Halozer. If the concept of malam b'kodesh v'lam meridim is a deraisa or only the rabbonim. Vecha shazav b'fnim. There was one more shulchan inside. Sh'olav lechem upon him tamid. That's where he always had the lechem upon him. Actually, the Mefarshim point out that if we review the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, he had 10 more tables. So why does it say there was only one? There were 10. The answer is that lechem upon him, even though Shlomo HaMelech constructed all of those shulchanas, the lechem upon him was only on one. Ask the Gemara, Michti, we've learned, Ein Anias B'Mekam Ashiris. So Amai, Avdi D'Shayish, Navdi D'Kesav, Navdi Zov. Why do they make marble tables? Shouldn't they only use silver and gold? Answer the Gemara, Am Rav Chinitne B'Shem Rav Asi B'Shem Rav Shvu Bar Yitzchak, as we've been learned, Neshu Masiach. If it's silver or gold, it's metal, it conducts heat, and it's more likely to spoil the meat, especially the kabayim, which are very susceptible to spoilage, and we don't want that to happen. We learned in the Mishnah, Shalshacha Hayanishcha Al Karen Mizrach Tzfinus. In the morning they did it on the, actually, if we look at the right gears, in the morning they did it on the northwest, and the evening they did it on the northeast. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, what is the basis for this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Chizda Amar Krosh Shnayim LaYoyim Kenegar HaYoyim. In the morning the sun is coming up on the east side, so you shecht on the west side so you get that light. In the evening the sun is on the west, so you shecht on the east to get that light. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi Shnayim LaYoyim Kenegar HaYoyim At Oyim Negar HaYoyim Elol Chayvus HaYoyim. Maybe the Pasuk just teaching us that you have an obligation to bring this carbon every day. Says the Gemara Shkoimer, when there's already a pasuk that says, "Hasakavus ha'echo atas of a biker, v'hasakavus ha'sheni atas of a nabayim," harei chayvus ha'yoyim maimer. So we already know that there's an obligation to bring this carbon every day. Hamayim mikayim shnayim liyoyim. What do we use this pasuk to teach us? Neger ha'yoyim ha'ketzad, which means tamid shal shachar ha'yanishcha al-keren tzfoynis merovis al-tabah shniya v'shben abayim. To get the light of the sun that's on the west side, again, as we explained in the Mishnah, the Tabashniyah.